This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Not only is it morning in Montana, it's a cold morning in Montana, especially for some of you. I just got a message. Sorry, I'm just now seeing it from Tim and Savage, but at about 6:30 this morning, he sent me a message. 8 below zero out there on the Montana-North Dakota border. So he said, hace mucho frio en Mondakistan. Yeah, 8 below zero. But I'll tell you what, I am loving the snow. I don't know about you guys, but I'm loving the snow, and I can't wait to get more of it here in parts of the state a little bit later this week. Yeah, the cooler temperatures sticking around as well. So hopefully all that snow doesn't melt off ahead of, you know, ski season getting up and running across much of Montana. Hey, we got a big show lined up for you this hour of the program. It's going to be a fast-moving hour. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we're going to have the phone lines open for you for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show. If you got something you want to talk about, but we got a number of guests that are joining us today on the show. Our first guest is actually a caller that we had on. So last week we had State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff join us on this show for the entire 8 o'clock hour. Can't remember if it was last Wednesday or Monday, whenever the heck that was. It was before Thanksgiving. But, man, we had so many great calls coming into the show. We were talking with State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff about AI, artificial intelligence, data centers, energy, and so many different calls came in. We didn't have time to get to every single one of them, but one of those callers is actually Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar, and so we thought, hey, let's get Brad on the show on Monday to follow up on this conversation about AI, data centers, and energy. So coming up after the break, that's exactly what we're going to start with here on this Monday morning. But a little recap first for those of you that caught the show or maybe missed the show with Senator Zolnikoff. I loaded our audio of the show into an AI platform, and the transcript is available, and then this is the overview that AI delivered of that audio. I think it gave a good overview of what we talked about, but you tell me if you think it gave a good overview or not here. State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff discussed the complexities of AI regulation, emphasizing the need for flexible standards to avoid stifling innovation. He criticized overly stringent state laws that hinder AI development and compared them to outdated regulations on early car models when we were developing the car industry in America. Zolnikoff highlighted the importance of AI for national security, noting its potential to enhance infrastructure and scientific discovery. He also addressed the energy challenges posed by data centers, advocating for utilities to build energy infrastructure to support these projects and to prevent ratepayers from bearing the risk. Zolnikoff stressed the urgency of accelerating AI and energy development to maintain U.S. competitiveness. So that was the AI overview after we uploaded the audio of that conversation. We're going to get Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar's take coming up right after this.
History show.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right, let's just throw it right to Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar. Brad, thanks for calling in, and yeah, give us your take on energy, data centers, and AI.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing your listeners with me, and secondly, I'm just bubbling over with information on this, because virtually every issue that we handle is being affected by AI attempts to acquire access to the grid. You name it. I'll give you a couple of quick examples that you might not be too aware of. MDU Electricity, so that'd be Mondakistan customers, are part of what's called MISO. And MISO wants to do a $100 billion build-out in four stages to support AI and green energy to support AI. The people of MDU electricity footprint received nothing. Not a transmission line, not a data center, not even an extension cord or a thank you. Currently, as they finish these lines from step one, when they're done, there will be $200 million more on their rate case, on their bills. 2.1, which I've been involved in legally for about 6 months, we're waiting on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to rule. If we lose, it's another $400 million as each line is complete. If you go clear up to 4.0, it's $100 billion, and that's $2 billion that goes to Eastern Montana for AI centers, data centers, crypto centers that are not even in Montana. At the level of Northwestern filing with Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to set aside 370 megawatts from Puget, which if that goes into our rate base, can lower our electricity rates by as much as 60%. They have filed to change the law and the rule at the trajectory that those megawatts are on so that they may sell it to data centers. So our rates wouldn't go down. Our energy future becomes far more clouded in the name of data centers. And I asked one of the leading data centers representatives that want to build in Montana. I said, "Who are your?" I said, "Where's your money coming from? This is billions of dollars." He said, "It's coming from Dallas-Fort Worth." And I said, "I didn't ask your zip code. I want to know where the money's coming from. Is it foreign nationals? Is it China national? Is it all American?" Well, the one of the largest investors in Northwestern Energy is BlackRock. So you're looking at international determination of our outcomes with almost no coverage by the press that's in depth. And this is so huge in Georgia, where the Republican Commission has been Republican, their Public Service Commission, since 2007. The two that were up for election this time lost by 20 points because of the crushing effects of the data centers that they approved. This is a massive issue. Montana has about 877 megawatts, and that's more theoretical than factual, that the PSC actually oversees. And they want to build a 1,000-megawatt plant, a 500-megawatt plant that needs another 500 to back it up in case the first 500, for some reason, transmission line goes down, whatever the case might be. So if you do what's called cross-subsidization, you build it, you rate base it, and you're done, then the legacy customers of Montana, which is about 400,000 to 500,000, if you count meters, for Northwestern customers, are currently paying for everything that's there. You add another $1 billion to support AI, they pay for that as well. And that's where they get into the cross-subsidization. I tried an amendment. I couldn't even, I wasn't allowed to discuss it, to actually regulate AI centers and data centers to where they have to build their own power so that they are not being subsidized by anybody else. This is being done in several states.
Well, that's essentially what
never took place.
I love how the Rural Montana Magazine had a feature where they asked their co-op managers a question, and one of them was, "Hey, how should we look at these data centers and providing power?" And one of them said, "Hey, when the oil and gas industry was rocking the Bakken, the oil and gas industry paid for the necessary electrical infrastructure to allow them to access their energy." It should be kind of a similar concept when it comes to data centers, right? Like they should already have the energy in hand. They should provide the power or work with the generator that has the power in hand. But it should be new generation, not existing, that takes away and then just jacks up the cost for, you know, as Senator Zolnikoff, just makes grandma pay for it, right?
Right. Well, currently in Montana law, anything over 50 megawatts a year or 5 megawatts a month, so you've got a couple months earlier on the side of the equation, they can't be rate-based without PSC permission. If the legislature changes that, then there is no oversight. So what I put into my amendment, which, again, I was not even allowed to discuss, and that's in the YouTube from last Wednesday, not only anything over 50 megawatts is already covered. So I said that if they build, and let's say they're at 20 megawatts, and then 2 years later they build 30 megawatts, then that's considered not one, but you add the two together. If they're connected financially, managerially, investment-wise, then they have to move out and build their own or buy their own power.
Interesting. All right, hold that thought. Got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. I think we've got another guest coming up after this, but Senator Molnar, or Commissioner Molnar, stick with us, former state senator.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, I think we are going to have another guest on the phone lines with us here in just a second. Yeah, we do have our next guest on the phone lines with us, but I was telling Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar, first off, thanks for calling in today, because we definitely wanted to get your take on this whole AI data center energy discussion. A great conversation that we had last week with State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff. But I was telling Commissioner Molnar, I said, eventually I want to do like an hour, maybe even 2 hours on this whole data center topic just here in Montana alone. So we'll have to do that here in the near future. So yeah, Commissioner Molnar, again, thanks for your time this morning. Great to have you on the program. Let's see, Caden, go ahead and send our next guest to us through the phone lines here. Yeah, we've got a packed 8 o'clock hour for you here on this Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And then the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have the phone lines open, anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. What should we talk about here? We've got the great Grover Norquist back on the show with us here, the president of Americans for Tax Reform. He's been an influential conservative in Washington, D.C., going all the way back to the Reagan years. But, hey, if you got a quick question or a topic you'd like to hear Grover weigh in on, send us a message on the Montana Talks app, because we've got a quick few minutes with him here. Grover, great to have you back on the show. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. You too. Good to be with you.
Well, I was just thinking, man, what should we talk about here on this Monday with Grover Norquist? And where do you want to start before I take it in a number of different directions?
Well, first of all, thank you and all the good wishes to your governor, who's been working to take the personal income tax down in Montana. He is one of the leaders across the country of taking tax rates down. When you guys get to be a flat rate tax, you will be the 17th state with a single rate flat rate, which is so helpful because it just takes envy off the table. As long as you've got many rates, which, by the way, was an idea in the Communist Manifesto. I think it was number 4 idea, have a graduated income tax. So probably a bad idea, but getting to a single rate tax just means everybody pays 4%. Everybody pay, and then people go, I got it. And it takes envy off the table. Politicians love to say, oh, Fred may be getting a little bit less than, let's raise your taxes and his, because there's a division that's always a disaster. It's how you end up with very high taxes if you can divide taxpayers against each other. So getting to a flat rate tax there in Montana is such cheerful news that I know the governor's working on it with the legislature. And across the country, we have 12 states looking to go to zero now, on the income tax. Now, you have no sales tax, so probably not going to zero right away in Montana, but taking it down as you can is a great step.
Well, yeah, maybe that kind of ties in with talking about the One Big Beautiful Bill and everything that was accomplished in the One Big Beautiful Bill. I saw, I think on the Big Weekend show, I think on Fox over the weekend, they were talking about how, okay, yes, there's so many great things in the One Big Beautiful Bill, but it's going to take time for those things to take effect, to fully be implemented. Like, but that's early next year. A lot of concern about the midterm elections and with Trump not being on the ballot, if all of the Trump voters will even show up next year for the midterm elections, Democrats are sounding increasingly confident that they might take back the House.
They are certainly going to make a play for that. The Republicans have both resources and strong candidates, and the Democrats are sacrificed one seat up in Maine to start with. There are a number of seats that the Republicans ought to be able to take back. The Senate is one where Republicans should actually strengthen, which is a little bit of a surprise, but strong candidates across the country have been helpful. One of the projects the president fought for in his first term and wasn't able to get it done, but this time both he's supportive of it, the Treasury Secretary gets it, there's a lot of support in Congress, is to, and this I think changes the election in November, and that is to, through a rulemaking at Treasury, it doesn't take a law, you don't need any Democrat votes, you end tax on inflation in capital gains. Right now, if you sell your house, it may have gone up in value by $100,000 or $200,000, but more than half of that was inflation. 20% of that was Biden's inflation. And you're ending up paying capital gains on make-believe increases in your in the value of your house. So saying, nope, the only tax when you sell stocks, the only when you sell a small business, when you sell a ranch or a farm, you do not pay income tax, the capital gains tax on inflation, only on the real value. It cuts the capital gains tax more than in half. And if you've had your farm for a long time, or a ranch, or a small business, or stocks that you've owned, or your home for a long time, it can take it down by two-thirds, by three-quarters, for crying out loud. If you bought your house before the inflation that Jimmy Carter gave us, right? I mean, before Biden, there's Jimmy Carter, who was really inflating the currency. Your capital gains taxes are punitive because you're getting taxed on non-real gains. Reagan stopped that in the personal income tax when he got elected. He said, every year we get pushed into higher tax brackets because the government creates inflation, puts us into higher tax brackets, and they go, oh, now you're rich. We're going to tax you with a higher rate. And he indexed those brackets so they go up with inflation and it really ends the challenge of being pushed into higher and higher tax brackets. We need to do the same thing with capital gains and the inflation that hits there.
Well, that housing inflation.
That I think we should see this year.
Yeah, that housing inflation here in Montana has been huge. It's really essentially our property taxes are a tax on unrealized gains on everyday working class Montanans. What can you see? What can you see the Republican Congress delivering before the end of this year and then kicking into early next year on top of the one big beautiful bill? I saw a report in the Daily Caller recently that DOGE is not dead. Could we see another rescissions package from President Trump? What could we see in terms of peeling back federal spending here in the next 30 days and then heading into early January?
I think in a bill, a reconciliation package, which you can do with simple majorities. You do not need any Democrat votes. And because of the bitter partisanship that the Democrats have put out, they're so mad about losing the House and the Senate and the presidency. They can't see straight. They shut the government down for no good reason other than they were mad. They're dealing with a two-year-old that keeps screaming and going, you know, this isn't getting us anywhere. And they keep at it. So you can't count on any Democratic votes, no matter how moderate or, you know, terribly reasonable or even silly you get to try and get their votes, doesn't happen. So you could see an expansion of health savings accounts. One of the things the Democrats have tried to do is make health savings accounts too complicated, put limits on it. 70 million people have health savings accounts. Should be 170 million if we can open up the opportunities there. The Democrats, of course, hate it. They want to push everybody into the government-run health care, like the post office, through Obamacare, which is failed. I mean, one of the things we need to make clear is the reason why the Democrats want a subsidy for Obamacare is Obamacare was supposed to, we were told by President Obama at the time, would reduce the cost of your health insurance by $2,500 a year. Now, did anybody in Montana see their health insurance reduce in size by any amount in cost, or in fact, did it go up and most and something close to doubling or more or worse because Obamacare is a big government program and that's what big government programs do? So the Democrats are desperate to cover up the failure of Obamacare to damage it, made people worse off, not better off. And now we need to have an off-ramp so that people can try, can do something that we know works, health savings accounts, group insurance that various religious groups do, get together and and put their and do risk pools. There are a lot of alternatives to one-size-fits-all Obamacare, which made things worse. But the nerve of these guys to act like, because the Republicans are now in charge of the House, Senate, presidency, living with a bill that the Democrats passed under Obama, because it takes 60 votes to change many of those laws, that somehow this rotten healthcare system that we have, that the government, that the Democrats created, is Trump's fault.
No. Yeah, I saw one of the Montana Democrats. I saw one of the Montana Democrat operatives on X this morning was tweeting, posting on X a story about rising insurance premiums. They've been doing that since you guys shoved Obamacare down our throats. Meanwhile, Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute here in Montana, free market think tank, has a guest opinion.
Yeah, great guy.
He's got a guest opinion column in the Billings Gazette talking about how President Trump's proposal is a great idea. President Trump's plan is basically pay the people, not the insurance companies. And that's exactly what the Democrats want to do. They want to subsidize the insurance companies, whether we use their insurance or not.
Well, one of the reasons for that is that when the Democrats tried to take over health care under Clinton and failed, they were opposed by the insurance companies, which pointed out how bad it would be. And they ran ads and explained that to people. So when Obama came in, he said, how do we keep the insurance companies from opposing us? And he took the same approach that the British socialists did when they nationalized healthcare, had the government take over all healthcare in Britain. And people said, well, how are you going to get this done? Because the doctors will oppose you, and no one will trust your government-run health care if the doctors say it's a bad idea. And the response from the socialist prime minister was, we will stuff their mouths with gold, meaning we will pay the doctors so much to start with that they won't object to the fact that they're losing all their freedom and how they operate and the patient the relationship between patients and doctors gets shattered because everybody's just a bureaucrat, but they didn't complain. And the insurance companies have had their mouths shoved full of gold.
And it's our
gold.
That's
why the insurance companies.
And it's our gold being shoved into their mouths.
Stolen gold.
Yeah, stolen gold. Wow, that is fascinating insight. Grover Norquist, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Always great to get your insight. Wow, that's going to be the line that people are going to remember from the whole show here, I think, is that line right there. They will stuff their mouths with gold. That is fascinating. All right, quick break, and then coming up after this, we've got our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana with our weekly update coming up right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we may have the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, we may start our open phones portion early here on this Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday. Yeah, I thought we had some guests scheduled, but I'm not seeing them on the line yet. So that means you can get on the line right now, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Yeah, let's see. One quick thing here. So, I'm going to save that one for the 9 o'clock hour. So I got a response back from ICE, from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but I need to read it here and maybe even do a quick follow up. Yeah, I might need to do a quick follow up on the response I got back. So obviously, you know, Friday morning, if you guys were listening in, as John Jackson, the Joker from X, was filling in on the show, I was listening in for part of the 8 o'clock hour as well, and really appreciate John's coverage of this just horrific attack on West Virginia National Guard soldier, the young woman who was killed in cold blood right in the streets of our nation's capital. And I posted on X about it right after I heard John's remarks, especially as an Afghanistan veteran, like, you know, so many of our listeners, frankly. John served overseas as a federal law enforcement agent in Afghanistan. I served overseas with the military. And this is exactly what so many of us have been talking about over the past several years when we were criticizing the Biden regime for bringing in plane loads of unvetted so-called refugees from Afghanistan. And we made the point several years ago that not only should they not be bringing in plane loads of so-called refugees and then dumping them into the streets of America, but even some of the people that work for the U.S. government over there need additional vetting before they're brought into the United States of America. So anyway, we'll talk more about that coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. First, though, Karl Rove was on. You know, I mentioned during our previous conversation there with Grover Norquist that, you know, Democrats are now starting to get optimistic about the midterm elections next year. Because they think with President Trump not being on the ballot that you won't show up, that so many of President Trump's supporters won't show up at the polls in the midterm elections because Donald Trump is not on the ballot. But, of course, he's not going to be on the ballot for the presidential election in 2028 either. Here is Karl Rove, who was, of course, the main strategist for former President George W. Bush. He was on Fox over the weekend.
Welcome to the Journal editorial report. I'm Paul Gigot. That was President Trump this week ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, claiming his administration has made major strides in making America affordable again and touting his passage of his one big beautiful bill in Congress, saying he's accomplished more in less than a year than many administrations do in eight. But with the midterms approaching, cracks are beginning to emerge in the Republican coalition on Capitol Hill, and the party has yet to unite around an agenda going forward. So what should the president and his party focus on in the months ahead? Let's ask Wall Street Journal columnist and Fox News contributor Karl Rove. Karl, good to see you. So the president has really dominated Republicans in Capitol Hill this year, really forcing them to show remarkable discipline. But now some cracks are showing. How frayed is this unity on the Republican side, and what's causing it?
Well, what's causing it is they're scared to death of the midterm election. See, you cannot run in a midterm election by saying vote for us because we've done a great job, particularly when people don't feel the consequences of the policies that you've enacted. If the president's big beautiful bill was as instantaneously positive as he thinks, his numbers wouldn't be on approval numbers on the economy wouldn't be in the 30s, and his overall approval wouldn't be in the low 40s. So Republicans are concerned, and they need to have an agenda going into the 2026 midterms, and they don't have a forward-looking agenda at this moment.
You're saying they don't have any now. Do you detect anything that they seem to be kind of moving around and inclined to support?
Well, if you talk to individual members, they get that they've got a problem. They get that they need to have an agenda. They're a little bit cowed by the White House. You know, they would prefer that it not be dictated to them by the White House.
All right, so of course, Karl Rove has always been a bit of a never Trumper, but to the point though that look, the one big beautiful bill, there's several provisions. That's why we just talked about this with Grover Norquist. Several of the provisions won't take effect until the first of the year, so about 1 month from now, and so. That's when we're going to see more of impacts and more effects from the one big beautiful bill. And then on top of that, I think once we finally see a new chairman of the Federal Reserve put in place, I think and we see a further decline of the interest rates, that's when people are going to feel more of the effects. But we're already seeing the effects right now, frankly, with the lower energy prices, with the lower gas prices. And you look at President Trump's approval within the Republican base right now, far ahead of where other Republican presidents have been when it comes to approval within their Republican base at this stage of their tenure. So that's another point to point out here. But with regard to the overall point is, yes, as we've discussed on this show right here, Republicans need to step on the throttle. They need to dial it down even further and continue to deliver on the agenda that President Trump was elected on. In fact, let's see, in a couple of weeks, I'll have the honor of speaking to the Flathead County Republican women. They've got a luncheon coming up here in a couple of weeks. And I'll have the honor of not only getting to speak to the Flathead County Republican women, but I'll have the great honor of speaking alongside my wife, Jessica. Jessica will be speaking. She'll be the keynote. I'll just be the sidebar. But she'll be speaking to that same. So both of us will be at that Republican women's luncheon. And they wanted a quick little kind of one sentence. Hey, what do you plan to talk about at that upcoming luncheon? And a friend of mine from down in Polson messaged me and said, hey, I saw that you're going to be talking about Gen Z voters. What more can you share? Because I want to share that information with the Lake County Republicans down here on what you're going to talk about with regard to Gen Z voters. And basically what I told her I plan to talk about, now you never know what could change in the next 2 weeks, but what I plan on talking about is kind of what we've already been discussing here on this show. When we had young Finley Warden join us on the show, a 20-year-old Gen Z voter, and how he talked about how, look, Gen Z came out in support for President Trump. Gen Z showed up for President Trump and for the Republicans, and now that's why Republicans need to deliver for Gen Z. And as America approaches her 250th birthday, I truly believe that Gen Z is going to decide which path our country goes down for the next 250 years. Are we going to be the free republic that we're supposed to be, or are we going to go further down the path of socialism, which leads in decay and destruction? And that's why it's so important that the Republican Congress continues to deliver and works with President Trump to continue to deliver on these victories. There were so many big victories and so many big wins in the One Big Beautiful Bill. I mean, just like our conversations recently here with the Farm Bureau at the Montana Farm Bureau Convention. Look at everything. Look at the doors that are now open for our nation's farmers and ranchers that were completely slammed in their face shut when Joe Biden was in office. Look at what they were trying to do to regulate farmers and ranchers off the land through the waters of the U.S. And now that is being reversed by this administration. Look at what they were doing to pander to the American Prairie Reserve that's trying to kick the ranchers off the land here in Montana. They were giving special perks, the Biden regime was, to the APR to throw you off of your ranch here in Montana. And the Trump team is reversing all of that. And so I can imagine it's got to be somewhat frustrating for Republicans in Congress and for the Trump administration as well to say, man, look at everything that's being delivered right now. But I think the reason why is because younger Gen Z voters understand the sense of urgency. And I think you guys do as well. You understand the sense of urgency that if we don't do more to peel back this $36 trillion in debt, if we do not do more to make our economy truly great again, rebuilding this industrial base here in America, which includes our mining industry in Montana, which includes our timber industry in Montana, they understand the sense of urgency that if we don't deliver now, if we don't deliver now in the next 1 year, that the Gen Z voters may not show up ever again. And so that's why they've got to continue to put their foot on the gas pedal. They've got to continue to throttle down to deliver for the American people. All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute. The
government doesn't run very much efficiently at all. And that's why I urge you in this audience, don't buy their lie. You know, if you think this is bad, the people that raided the lockbox, the Social Security, the people that screwed up our school systems, the people that want to reimagine the police and defund and no bail. If you think those people are capable of running anything efficiently, they're not. And for them, it's about power. And their power is your dependency. That's why, you know, womb to the tomb, cradle to grave, which is what they're preaching, which is what they want, which is the new Green Deal, means failure after failure after failure.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you want to give the gift they'll actually use this holiday? Peace of mind? Give the people in your life something that will protect them. Go to BYRNA.com today. They are the world leader in less lethal personal defense. It's compact, it's concealable, it's powerful. The newest burner compact fits in a pocket, a purse, while delivering real stopping power for up to 60 feet away. I carry one every day. I recommend every family have a burner, every person have one. Now, it fires potent kinetic and aerosol rounds that can stop any attacker in their tracks for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. It ships right to your door. Burner gives both the gift giver and the recipient peace of mind, not just for the holidays, but all year round and for many years to come. Protect your loved ones. Safety is priceless. Visit BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Yeah, I thought we were going to have another guest there in that last segment, but that's all right. We'll get to your phone calls here a little bit sooner and then keep them coming in the 9 o'clock hour as well. We've got Marsha in Billings on the phone lines. Marsha, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm really interested in the Gen Z voters and how we can get out and, you know, reach out to them and get them excited about being young Republicans. I was in high school when Reagan was, you know, president, and I feel for a lot of these kids because it was really tough going out and trying to find jobs and trying to make money back then after years of Carter and Ford. And I was just wondering if anybody knows, other than like the women Republicans or something like that, is there any organizations that are going to be focusing on this? Because I'd sure like to go talk to these kids and just tell them it can be different because we've done it before.
That's a really good point. Yeah, what was it like in, say, 1980, you know, late 81, early 82, for example, after President Reagan is elected? Yeah, after you're exactly right, you know, similar failed foreign policy, similar failed economic policy. I mean, what a train wreck Carter was. But Joe Biden was like Jimmy Carter on steroids. And so, but now people just think that immediately overnight, everything is going to be turned around. And, you know, Trump has stopped the sucking chest wound, but the patient is still sitting in the hospital bed right now is kind of the point.
Yeah, and, we're at risk of infection at this point, and we could go septic at any time unless we, you know, take care of our, you know, our political health, I guess you'd say.
That's a really great way to put things, yeah. And so, yeah, to your question, though, okay, so who is reaching out to these young people and what are they doing? I mean, Turning Point USA is a classic example.
Yeah.
In fact, I know,
well,
you know, obviously MSU and UM, they have Turning Point USA chapters. It'd be really interesting to hear an update from all of the Turning Point USA folks across Montana. Okay, hey, how is your organization doing? What is effective within your organization at reaching out to Gen Z voters right now? What are you hearing from them? What do they see as accomplishments? What else do they want to see happen? Obviously, housing is a key one for these young folks that are looking to, you know, get into the job market and get into starting families and more.
Yeah, exactly. We need to, I don't know, that we've got to up our ground game and we got to get our message right because things are not being explained well to these kids. And I mean, for heck's sake, there's no civics even being taught in school anymore, as far as I'm aware. There is no government class. They don't understand how this works, really.
Well, I know, thanks to, you know, Elsie Arnson and now Susie Hedlund, they are, you know, working to reinvigorate civics education and the civics education standards and things like that here in Montana. But yeah, when it just comes to overall media and marketing and messaging, I mean, TikTok is very influential. And, you know, we're still trying to peel away the TikTok in the U.S. from the communist Chinese. But yeah, that's why what you said there, Marcia, about directly engaging with younger voters has got to be the key, because otherwise, you know, if they're just getting the same mainstream media garbage that everybody else is getting, well, it's going to be nonstop never Trump, nonstop negative about Trump. And so that's why we, the people, have got to get that information to them directly. That's why I always encourage people to, it's great that you're listening to shows like this, but also make sure you get like the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. If you're in the Flathead, get the KJJR app on your smartphone. And then share those articles with your friends, with those young people out there, because I will guarantee you Google and Instagram and TikTok, they are not going to want you or your kids to see the content that we are sharing, but they will pummel them all day long with it, with the mainstream media garbage. So that's why you've got to get it direct and share it direct as well. Marcia,
here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with high temperatures at around 33. For tonight, turning cloudy with snow showers moving in, especially in the Bozeman area. Temperatures fall off into the mid-20s. Then we'll see areas of light snow into Tuesday with an inch or two possible for accumulations, with high temperature readings staying up into the mid-30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.